You're listening to Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum. This week, one of the big guys. This is the episode everybody's been talking about, yelling at me about, Instagram, tweeting, Facebook, knocking on my door at 2 in the morning. When's Superman going to be on your show? Your wish is granted. Tom Welling is on the show today. Clark Kent, he's done a lot of other stuff too. I know you love him as Clark Kent. We're going to talk about everything. I swear to God, wait till you hear what old Tommy has to say. Growing up as a nice guy in high school, how all of us on Smallville wrote a letter to the studio to get him a driver because he used to wake up at 4:30 in the morning, worked 18 hours. And then I secretly wrote a letter to the studio about myself because I was jealous and I wanted a driver too. And they didn't give me one. How about the time I yelled at him on set? And then he came over and gave me a big hug. Lots of Smallville, him being on Lucifer, and his divorce. Now I can't wait. Let's get inside of Tom Welling.
It's my point of view. You're listening to Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum.
Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum was not recorded in front of a live studio audience.
I don't want you to have a back problem. I have to lean the whole time and go, yeah, the podcast was all right, but I had to lean.
I'll send you the bill.
We're with Thomas John Patrick Welling. Is it not?
No.
What is it?
It's Thomas Joseph Welling. I don't know where the John Patrick comes from, but I like it.
Is that like John Patrick Kelly?
Sure.
Joseph is your middle name?
Yeah.
Rob, what the fuck, dude? I've known this guy for fucking 15 years, and that's why I was shocked when I saw this.
That's the internet, bro.
Give you those notes.
You're fired. You're fucking fired.
Again.
We've known each other a long time, Tom.
Yeah.
Years? And I just want to say I appreciate you allowing me to be inside of you today.
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you feel about it?
Innuendo comes to mind.
Innuendo. In your window. That's what comes to mind. Yeah, so we've been friends for a long time. I really feel like I'm one of the only people you actually liked on that show. I was one of them.
One of them.
I'm sure you liked a couple. You have to say you liked a couple, or then they would assume he only liked Rosenbaum.
I liked most of them, no.
Yeah. Now, are there some you didn't like?
Oh, no, I liked them all.
Everybody was really nice.
You know, as time goes on, you know that, you know, when you're in it, there's a lot of it that, you know, you're tired and blah, 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 you know, poor me, but... The more time that goes from that show, the more I remember it fondly.
Right?
You only
remember
the good
bad
stuff.
Times. Yeah. Well, I remember some bad times.
A couple times in the rain yelling at Marshall or whatever, but you know.
Oh my God, you remember that? All right, so let's start early. We'll get there. I'm going to get inside of you really quick.
All right.
I just want to know about childhood. Like, you know, were you always a tall person?
No. I didn't start getting tall until like freshman, sophomore year of high school. In middle school, I remember being like 5'3 and dancing with girls taller than me.
Really?
That was fun, yeah.
When did you have hair in your balls? First time?
I don't know.
Do you remember the first hair that went in? You're like, yeah, it's a pube.
I don't think I do.
I used to pray for them because I started puberty so late. I used to, you know, when you did shirts and skins basketball, if I was skins, I was like, all of a sudden I got sick. I was like nauseous. I go, I can't do it. I know something happened. Why? I don't want to take my shirt off. Why? Rosamund, you don't have hair under your arms? What the fuck's wrong with you? I don't know. My dad's 6'5". I'm 4'11" as a sophomore in high school. You weren't like that, though.
I don't think so. I mean, I don't remember thinking that, so I don't think so, no.
You weren't concerned about your pubic hair.
Uh-uh.
You just knew that it was there and it was coming in normally.
Yeah, I mean, I still hope it comes in at this point. The funny thing is I remember walking in the makeup trailer, you with your shirt off on the show, and they were like shaving your back. So it kind of just went
full circle. Thank you for telling everyone I'm Harry and the Hendersons that you worked with. It's true. It's like my legs aren't hairy and my arms aren't hairy. My chest gets a little Jack Tripper from Three's Company.
Yep.
And my back does. But you know what? When I was bald, I felt like I had to be bald all the way down. I was a method balder, a method shaver.
Right.
You didn't have to worry about that. You just had to have good hair.
Why didn't you just like fill up a bathtub of Nair or something and jump in there?
Because that's probably a better idea.
When I just that time.
I think if I used Nair on my head, it probably would have been, I wouldn't have hair right now.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure how that stuff works, but I remember Steve talking about it. Remember Steve?
Steve, our gay wardrobe guy. He was like, Rosenbaum, you are gay except for your dick. Everything about you is fucking gay.
He did say that many times.
I love Steve, didn't you? How many times did Steve see you naked?
More than a handful, I'm sure.
I always ask him, I go, what does Tom look like naked? He's like, I'm not telling you anything. I'm like, wow, you're good. How do I look like naked? He's like, eh. You know what I mean? So as a young kid in New York, you're of German descent. Did I get that right? I knew that.
Yeah.
Sprechen Sie etwas Deutsch? Können Sie lesen und schreiben?
Mm-mm.
You don't speak any German?
No, I don't speak any German.
You ever been to Germany?
Yeah.
Where?
In Munich.
Really? I was in Munich.
Traveled around a little bit.
München. Ich habe in der Hosen gemacht. It means I shit my pants.
Well, did you use that when you were in Germany on tour?
Yes, they didn't like it. The first song, I was so nervous, I was just like, I'll be funny. But my comedy doesn't translate not only in America, but not in Germany. So I'm up there going, Ich habe in der Hosen gemacht. And all these blank German faces. I just didn't know what to do. So
I'd have been that lone guy just like dying in the corner.
You would have died. That's what I always loved. I was like, Tom gets me. He just like, We made each other laugh.
Yeah.
We just got along. I always love this. It's like when you were having a bad day and you're like, fuck, I just worked 18 hours and this and that. And they're making me, do this stunt. My back hurts. And then Rosenbaum comes in and he's pissed off. All your worries and troubles.
I just got happy all of a sudden. Like we couldn't occupy the same anger space at the same time.
I would look at you and you would just be laughing. And I'm like, what the fuck's so funny, Welling? You're like, you're fucking pissed off. You just made my fucking day.
It's true. It's very true.
It is true. So you grew up in New York. You have brothers and sisters.
Yeah. Two older sisters, younger brother.
Right. And did you all get along? Happy, loving family?
Yeah. I didn't see much of my sisters. I guess I was a bit of a terror kid. So they stayed away from me.
What do you mean?
Like I would just like, when I was really small, I'd bite. I'd like punch and kick. Like I was just mean.
You're a dick.
Yeah, I was a dick. And I'd steal their shit and like break their dolls and stuff like that. And so really? I don't really remember my sisters till I was like maybe 16.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, are you close now with your family?
Yeah.
You see them?
A couple times a year. I got a brother in Hawaii and my one sister lives in New York and the other one lives in Pennsylvania.
Were any of them actors?
No. Well, my brother did a little movie and then was like, I don't want to do this.
And how old was he then?
He must have been 20, late 20s when he did it.
So were you were playing sports growing up in high school? So as a little kid, what were the sports?
Baseball, soccer, basketball.
Were you good?
Mm-hmm.
Were you like the star?
I was when I was really young. And then like as I got older, everybody started like really like working at it. And I didn't. I was just like, what do you mean practice? Let's just go play.
You didn't want to work?
No.
Who does?
Who does?
Yeah. So we're actors.
Yeah.
We don't want to work.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened in high school all of a sudden? What made you go, don't worry about Rob. He takes pictures. His first trade is he's a photographer.
It's not even for the show.
Yeah, it's for he's going to jerk off to these pictures later. So, aren't we all? So when was the first time you said acting? I want to do a play. And why the hell would you do that?
I guess when I was a little kid, I was in plays and musicals. When I was like in middle school, stuff like that. And then as I got into high school, it wasn't, I guess it wasn't cool anymore. So I got into a sports thing. And so I guess when I was young, being up on stage and whatever, singing and doing all that stuff, I guess made me feel pretty comfortable.
Wait, you can sing?
And when I was a kid, I could.
I mean, I've heard you sing. I mean, we sing for fun.
Yeah, for fun.
But so do you remember your first musical, first time you got on stage?
I don't remember the first time. I do have a memory of being out there singing in Oklahoma. And the mic was in front of me. And, the place was packed, with. Parents
and shit.
And I put my hands on the mic, like Bono or
something. Like a rock star.
And finish the song, and, we'd go for the wardrobe change, and I get, by like my ear, almost get picked up by the woman, by the teacher who was like directing the show. She's like, if you ever touch that microphone again, I will end you. I was like a little kid.
This is a theatrical production. Yes. This is not a rock show, Mr. Welling.
That's right.
Mr. Thomas John Patrick Joseph Welling III. Is that what happened?
Yeah, and I was like, man, okay.
So after that, was that kind of like a turnoff too? Where you're like, fuck this?
No, I didn't touch the mic anymore.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Even this, I'm like, meh.
You could grab the mic. It's a nice mic.
But it'd be like me talking to you like this. And just like.
That'd be weird.
Going like this the whole time.
That would be really weird. Just jerk off my microphone. So, okay, so you said screw it. Through high school, I'm going to play sports.
Yeah.
And did you get girls? I mean, you've always been a good-looking guy. Were you ever not a good-looking guy, you think? Or was it just a natural? Look, I know it's uncomfortable to ask you that because, like, oh, come on. I always good-looking? Well, listen, I've gone through a lot of phases. I was Alfred Hitchcock as a baby. I was what's his name from 16 Candles? Michael Hall, as a teenager.
I could see that.
I was such a nerd. I couldn't get nailed in wood shop. College, I went through this bucket head, the hair, the bowl cut.
I mean, I
you had a bowl cut in college.
Yeah, I was just ugly. I had goofy buck teeth, like fucked up teeth. Somebody punched me in the face once, and my teeth were just fucking crooked. It wasn't until later.
What'd you get punched for?
This guy, like, I was playing ice hockey, and our teams were rivals. He played for another team, and my dad told his dad he was a pig or something. And he got mad that my dad said that. So instead of, like, his dad defending himself, he defended his dad. But I was 5 feet tall, and this guy was a big kid. So we're driving home from a South Spencer basketball game, me and Pat Lally. And, first off, at the basketball game, I'll just
wait, I've met Lally.
Yeah, well, Lally's Tom, his brother, Pat, I used to hang with, because Tom was really popular. So okay. I didn't hang out with Tom as much. But we're at a basketball game, and this kid says, "Hey, out of the way, Rosenbaum, you freaking nerd," or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, and I just said something smart-ass. You know me. It was my defense mechanism. At least I was sort of funny. And I was like, "Hey, look at me. I'm so-and-so." And I was doing like an early Farley. "Hey, everybody, look at me. I'm the big guy yelling at the..." And he got really upset and because he was already thinking about my dad calling his dad a pig. And we're driving home from South Spencer. And Pat Lally looks in the rearview mirror and says, "I think so-and-so," I'm not going to name his name, "I think he's like right on our bumper."
He's tailing you in his car?
He's tailing me. And so I go, "I don't know what happened, Tom. This is a bad idea." I go, "Pull over." And he goes, "What?"
"Look at you."
"Pull over to the McDonald's. Let's get this over with." And he goes, "Fuck, Rosenbaum." And I went to the McDonald's, and he got out of his car with all his popular friends or whatever. And I got out of the car, and he goes, "You're a piece of shit." And I go, "Fuck you." And he starts yelling at me, "You know, your dad's a blah." I go, "Dude, settle it with my dad." And then I started mouthing him and being funny.
Sense.
And people are starting to laugh, and I was making sense. And I turn around, and he just comes behind me, and I turn quickly, and he punches me right in the face. And then I grab him, and I threw him into the McDonald's door, and it shattered it.
Oh, God.
And I didn't really throw him. We both kind of went into it. I didn't really, you know, I just like to say that I did.
Right.
Anyway, fast forward, we get out of there because the manager comes out. The next day at school, we're at the cafeteria table, and he's not at school. And come to find that he's got a cast on his hand. I guess the glass door broke his hand.
Cool.
So apparently I win. And everybody's making fun of now. And I was like, "Oh, Rosenbaum did this to you, 4'11 Rosenbaum." And the next day I'm in the bathroom between classes. And there's nobody in there taking a piss. And guess who walks in?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, "I'm going to get the shit beat out of me. My mouth's already fat. I'm going to get beat up in the shitter." And this guy looks at me and goes, "Just keep your fucking mouth shut, man." And I go, "I didn't start this." And he's like, "Shut up." You know, I have to have the last word. But did you ever get beat up in high school?
No, I got in a fight.
What was his name?
I don't remember, but he was a wrestler. And I remember being, I was tall, but I wasn't like big. And he was a little bit shorter, and he was on the wrestling team. And it was, I don't know, over some girl. And it was like, "I'll meet you in the parking lot." So of course I tried to not go. And all my friends are like, "No, dude, you got to go. Like, you got
to
go.
Don't want to mess with the rest.
We're here to walk you out." And it's like, fuck, I'm going to get, you know, this isn't going to be good. So I walk out there, and it's literally like, what's that movie where they go outside? It's like 5 o'clock.
3 o'clock high?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like literally, you know, it feels like 100 people in the parking lot. And there he is, like hopping around, like all jacked up. And I walk out, and I was like, "Hey, man, listen," I put my hands up, and he dives at my waist like, a wrestler.
Oh, boy.
And he tries to pick me up, and he can't. For whatever reason, and I reach over and I grab him by the waist and I pick him up, and he lets go and I drop him and he falls right on his head and he gets knocked out. And I was like,
"You didn't even want to fight him."
I didn't want to fight him. So the next day we get pulled into the principal's office and I was like, "Oh fuck, I'm gonna get, you know, suspended or whatever." And we're sitting there and the principal's talking about it, what's going on. All of a sudden I hear,
he's not crying,
and I look over and he's crying, and I'm like, "Dude, it's all right." And I'm like,
"So you were the nice guy who inadvertently beat him up."
I dropped him on his head. And
you're such a nice guy.
He was worried,
Tom,
about it, but he told the principal he was worried about his parents finding out and everything. And I was like, "Felt bad for the guy." I mean, he was upset.
Oh my God.
But it's funny how after the fight, how these people, I don't know if it's you earn the respect or just the embarrassment sort of catches up to them. But in similar experiences, the guys are the different people afterwards. It's like,
yeah,
why couldn't we have had this conversation before?
Yeah, right. Everybody wants to fight.
Yeah.
I wish it would have gone my way, that one, that fight instead of
it sounds like it
up.
Did, though. But
well, in a way,
took one
in a way, you know, people didn't get me in high school. How's your McDonald's
Coffee?
Coffee. I got you some waters there. If you want a water, a little refreshing, a banana, peach. If you want to suck on a banana over there.
Half eaten bananas.
Mm. Yeah, I'm really professional here. We really do you up. So what happened, I guess after high school, you didn't want to be an actor. Because that kind of happened after you started, I guess, modeling. Someone saw you were doing construction.
Yeah, I graduated early from high school with a less than stellar grade average.
Me too.
Because I just wanted to get out of there.
I was like 2.4.
Yeah. About that, around there. Just enough.
I always say because I didn't try.
I didn't
ADD.
Try. I didn't try. ADD, STD, you know, everything.
STD?
Yeah.
Isn't
that a thing?
I think it's a bad thing. Well, I had crabs in college once. I got rid of those pretty quickly, though. Just shave your balls.
Did you know what it was?
Did you have to, like... You know when they have names for stuff and you're like, oh, you know, they're not really crabs. I remember being like 18 and like taking one off my balls and putting it up to the light and going, my God, that's a crab. That is a tiny, minute crab. And I screamed. And my roommate goes, what's the matter, dude? I go, I have crabs. He's like, so what? Dude, go get cream at the fucking store at Houchins. It's a grocery store. And I remember going to the grocery store and going down an aisle, and I looked for, like, crab cream, you know, and I stole it because I was too embarrassed to pay for it. Could you imagine if I got caught stealing crab cream?
Security guard would be
way
like,
more.
What do you got? Oh, yeah. Just
take
go,
this, man.
Go,
I don't want to embarrass you anymore.
Don't come
man.
Back.
So, all right. So, where were we? So, I want to get into the modeling thing. You're working construction.
Yeah,
right?
I was doing construction. I went out to.
Were you one of those guys who took your shirt off and looked hot?
No,
didn't do that.
I went over to a buddy of mine had a girlfriend in Nantucket. And so we drove out there for, like, I don't know, like a week and just like crash. And, this girl walked up to me on the beach and was like talking about modeling. I was like, yeah, I've heard about this. Like, you know,
I've
heard about modeling. Like, I know people who, like, you know, they pay other people money so that they can model. Like, right. I knew guys who would spend $5,000 so that they could then go model. Right. And I'm like, I don't think that's the way to do it. She was, no, we pay you, blah, blah, blah. And I went out and shot a Abercrombie and Fitch catalog with Bruce Weber, who's actually a big time producer. I didn't know anything.
How much did you? This is the first time you had real money.
Yeah.
How much did you make in this commercial?
That was just a catalog. That was like a you know Abercrombie.
Yeah, Fitch, yeah.
They used to come out those things. It must have been. There's like $5,000 or $10,000.
$5,000 or $10,000. How
like,
old
out
are
of
you?
Nowhere. It's 18.
18.
Yeah.
$10,000 for taking pictures.
And I'm like, this could work.
This is great.
It's a lot better than sweeping floors in an office in a construction building. Yeah?
Right, and that's what you're doing, sweeping floors.
Yeah.
So now this starts. You start booking jobs.
Yeah, I wasn't really good at the whole modeling thing because I was too tall. I was too like big.
Even
when I did the whole like get skinny thing, I was still too. They want like 6'1", 160 guys.
And they want these skinny guys, like real skinny guys.
And at that point, I was already like 6'3", and I was already too big.
Did you have a girlfriend? Did you get girls in high school? Girls like
there
you.
Were girls around, yeah.
Do you remember one specifically, like even like now when you're with your girlfriend or fiance? Do you ever think of her and go, man, I miss those boobs?
No.
You don't do that.
Sometimes you think about, you know, the ones maybe you didn't get or the ones like, oh, yeah, I guess that, you know, it wasn't so bad.
I always wanted to sleep with Sarah Ferguson. She was hot. She was so beautiful, but she wouldn't even look at me.
Did you ever up what she looks like now?
She's fine. Remember, I'm 45. I'm older than you. So now you can't look at people and go, God, look what happened. You got to go just like, hey, they're 45 years old. They're not 18,
yeah,
17.
Good, you know, good for 45.
Yeah, sure.
She's
married with
three
kids. No, I don't want to break up a marriage in Indiana. I'm just saying her name. We don't have to get into the what could happen.
What town in Indiana?
It was Evansville, Indiana. We were ranked the most obese city in the country a few years ago and the most depressed. But I love going back.
I'm
going to
Google search Sarah Ferguson.
Sarah Ferguson. Actually, it was Newburgh, Indiana. Don Mattingly is from Evansville. They shot the Roseanne house. Jamie Carroll played baseball. Those are the pretty much the claim to fame.
And you.
You what? And me.
You.
And me. And I'm not even in the high school superstar list on the wall.
Why not?
I think, I don't know.
You got to go back there.
You know why?
Play a concert.
I did this movie I directed back in the day. I've talked about this before. And you know, it was a dirty movie. It wasn't a clean movie. And some things took place at the high school, and I don't think they appreciated it. And they took it, I guess, I don't know. But I think that has something to do with
it. You shot it at that high school?
Yeah, the principal, the guy who was actually the principal at the time. And I told him he didn't have to do this, but he insisted. There's a scene where some guy's dick is shown right near his face. Like, he pops up in the back of a truck, and I go, you don't have to do this. You're the principal. He's like, no, I'm doing it. And so he did the scene. And so there's a slow motion, 120 frames a second, coming up his dick right behind the rearview mirror in the car truck while he's driving. He looks around, he looks behind, he's like, oh my God. And I guess he got some shit for it, and then he ended up quitting. He's a good friend of mine now. He didn't blame me. I mean, he blamed me to the board and said, I didn't know about this. But I go, I get it. I would have lied too. But he knew. So, and then people thought I was like misrepresenting the principal. I'm like, that was just an actor. It wasn't, he wasn't representing, he wasn't like the principal. This guy was fat in the movie. Our principal was thin. I don't know. I think they took some, you know.
People like to figure out things to complain about.
So what, when did that first acting thing start? And by the way, were you like one of these guys who were just going with the flow? Did you kind of think, hey, I'm cool, man. I'm modeling.
No, I thought this is, under the guise of, modeling, I can move to Europe and travel around and, travel. So I would, go to some of these castings and not get them, most of them, and be like, all right, cool. Jump on a train and take off for the weekend and go check out some city somewhere. Whether it was in Italy or we talk about Germany. I lived in Munich for like 3 months and I just sort of like ran around. It was fun.
You know, what's funny is you're so fucking humble. I try to get shit out of you sometimes and it's true. It's like even on set or whatever, you're just what I've come to find is like at first there's times like, this 20-year-old punk, he's coming, he's doing Smallville, and like, I've been busting my ass, and now I got to play he's a good-looking guy, and I'm the bald freak, and, all these things. But you were always so humble, and you never, I read it somewhere, and I think you told me this, but you're like, I don't like interviews. I like to do my job and go home.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, come on. But you have to do interviews sometimes. Yeah. You didn't have to do this, but we're buddies and you did it.
Yeah.
In fact, we did another thing that didn't air because it didn't get picked up by sci-fi. They're idiots. I don't know what
the. By the way, not only did I have fun doing that, I had fun watching it.
Wasn't that fun?
Even watching it, I would laugh.
I got to somehow air that. You were so funny and we had so much fun and genuine laughs.
Yeah,
so I got to get that. That was like, it was called Super Friends with Rosenbaum.
Yeah.
So I had to change this to Inside of You with Rosenbaum in case they wanted assuming.
Well, the other thing about interviews is, people say, do the interview and it's your opportunity to tell the industry and tell people how you really feel and what you're doing. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm not interested in telling anyone. I don't even like listening to what I have to think or say.
They're just finding something that's provocative. They want to find something about you that they can make a spin. They can do a spin of
Do you remember that time we did that Rolling Stone interview?
Oh my God.
And we caught that guy trying to record a conversation without telling us? Do you remember that?
Yeah, and then they wrote something about me and my balls and all this stuff.
It was weird.
It was weird. They aired everything.
Well, and so anyway, early on, we get that opportunity and that happens. So then I'm like, I tried, and then this is what people do. Like, why do interviews?
Yeah, this is why I don't.
This is why I don't.
Rolling Stone, you have to do it, Tom. Yeah. WB saying you got to do this interview, and then you're like, listen, fuckers, this is why I don't want to do all these interviews. And I was like, look, I'll take his interviews.
Yeah,
I don't want to just be page 47 of Sci-Fi Weekly.
That's right.
I will take the cover of Entertainment Weekly.
That's right.
Why am I not on there? I think I was on there. They cut me out. It didn't matter. It was fine.
There was so much going on that early, and I had no idea what I was doing. Another thing that I realized is, there were things that happened on that show, and because I had zero experience, I just accepted for reality, whether it was the hours or the locations or shooting where we were or other things. And I remember you being like, dude, it's not supposed to be like this, because you had been around. You knew
a little bit
what things should be and when they were wrong or when you're out. I always refer to this, but when you're out in the freezing rain in Vancouver and there's rain towers and, it's clear that the situation has not been planned.
And you are driving, or all of us are driving, an hour to a location at 4:30 in the morning with one eye open, and you're in every scene. I think they got to a point where we all signed a letter for you because we're like, you're going to kill Superman.
Yeah. I think
you're going to kill our Superman.
From what I remember, I don't know if it was you, Schneider, or somebody, but unbeknownst to me, because I was just told it was already done, but you guys all signed something because we weren't, for the listeners, we weren't allowed to have drivers for some reason. I was getting up at 4:30, driving an hour and a half, working an 18-hour day, then driving back, sleeping 5 hours. And you guys were like, well, he's going to die.
Yeah.
He's going to run into a tree and the show's going to be over. So you guys kind of gave up, you waived your rights to, if one had a driver, everybody had a driver.
Yeah.
So then I got a driver, and that was a big difference.
Can I tell you something?
Hmm.
I actually said, I'd like a driver. They gave me a stipend. It was like $1,000 a week. And,
nice.
I didn't get a driver. I kept driving, but I kept the $1,000. I just want to be honest with you.
Paid for your ticket to get up there.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're modeling. And I'm sure you told the story, but so you did Judging Amy. How did that happen? Was that the first thing?
No.
What was the first kind of acting gig?
the first thing I ever auditioned for was Buffy the Vampire Slayer, but it was in New York. And I didn't know even how do you learn lines? Like, I didn't know anything. I didn't know anything. So I went in there and I didn't get the part, but Fox offered me a holding deal out of nowhere. And
unbelievable. Hey, you didn't get the part, but we like you. Mm-hmm. We're going to give you money for a holding deal. Right. Back then they had holding deals and they give you $100,000 to hold you for.
Yeah. This one, I think it was 50 grand. Oh, 50. Move out to LA.
Oh yeah, bro.
And you know, and I was like, you know, and everybody's like, sign it. I'm like, whoa, let's do the math here. Let's, you know, this is how my brain works. So cut that in half for taxes. Mm-hmm. I don't have a 25. Car. I'm going to have to buy a car.
Sounds like your divorce. Cut it in half.
There you go. Jesus.
Jesus Christ. We'll get into
and
that.
And then get a place to live, buy a car.
Agent, this,
at
that.
At the end of it.
It's nothing.
It's and they not own enough. You. And they own you.
Right.
And that's the part that I really didn't like.
Yeah.
So I turned that down, but moved to LA and then spent about 6 months auditioning and having people go, oh, you know, you're just a little green. I'm like, what does that mean? Nobody could tell me what that meant.
Did you rage at all when you first moved out to LA? Because like when you're young, you got to rage a little.
No, because you have to understand, I had just spent 2 years living in Europe, bouncing around, quote unquote, modeling. And then in New York, like,
so you already partied.
I had already had a lot of fun. Right. So it wasn't.
You wanted to get down to business. Yeah. What's the next step? Yeah. And what was the next step?
Well, I ended up getting Judging Amy. And
you auditioned for that.
I did. That was kind of a
funny. Did you make out with Amy?
I did.
How was that?
She was pregnant at the time.
Was there tongue work?
No, I don't think so. I don't remember.
But did you try? I mean, a guy who didn't know what he was doing, if you figure if we're kissing in a scene, we're doing tongue. I'm not going to go on a date and kiss a girl and go, with no tongue. It's weird. She's like, what do you eat? You got to put the tongue in there. So did you not try to judge Amy? Or you thought she'd judge you if you did that?
I don't remember. I'd probably go back and watch it.
Did she have fresh breath?
She must have, because I don't remember her not.
Oh, because you always remember the bad breath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I went into that audition, and it was me. I was like, I don't know, 21 or 22. And all these guys in the room are like 45. And I'm like, fucking agent sucks. Like, I knew from like even the modeling world, like if you walk into a room and there's a bunch of like skinny blonde haired guys and you're like a big dark haired guy, like you're getting sent to the wrong fucking place. Yeah. So I'm like, motherfucker, and blah, blah, blah. So did the audition, and I got a call a week later, and turns out they had been looking for an older guy. They cast the guy. He couldn't do the job, so they were going to rewrite it so that her character's boyfriend is 20 years younger. And so they're like, we want you to come in.
Right.
So that's how that happened. And then right at the end of that is when the Smallville thing happened. So then I was gone to Vancouver. So it all did happen quick.
So what was the thing with Smallville? It was one of these things where you're just like, they said, hey, there's this young Superman show.
Yeah.
And you weren't interested at first.
No, I was like, that sounds horrible.
I wasn't interested either.
It sounds horrible.
Yeah, I was like, oh gosh, this is going to be the next whatever. Right. It's going to be goofy.
Because you remember, there wasn't anything like that show.
No, you thought it was going to be a soap opera. Yeah. WB was only making soap operas. And we didn't want to be in a soap opera. And I thought, you know, I'm doing movies. Things are happening. Mm-hmm. And, you know, So what was it that...
Well, they said, I know now that it was David Nutter who had spoken to my reps at the time and be like, just have him come in, read the script.
What a talent.
Yeah, he's great. I just saw him a couple weeks ago.
Did you see the Game of Thrones episodes? The guy's just phenomenal.
He's a genius.
And he was phenomenal with this pilot.
Yeah.
He made, you know, by the way, if you guys don't know this, if you shoot the pilot on a TV show, you get like $5,000 or $10,000 for every episode that it goes on. Mm-hmm. So when we did 300 episodes, he would just get checks. What's 500? How many episodes did Smallville do?
Well, I guess
200 something?
220.
What's 220 times 5? Rob, the fuck? God, one fucking question.
He's not even pretending to look there. He's not even pretending to look.
It's $1 million.
It's $1 million. You got $1 million for it. But he really started out. It was his.
He's the artwork. Most successful pilot.
So go ahead. So you met with David Nutter.
Well, no, I didn't meet him. I went in and read the script and I was like, oh, wait a minute. This isn't a young Superman running around. This is about a kid in high school who's trying to figure out who he is and what his thing is. So then I was like, all right, cool. I have a couple questions. And I met with Al and Miles and I had some questions about like, just what are we doing? And are we going to be flying around? And is he going to put the suit on and all these things? And they were like, no, never, never the suit, no flights, no tights.
Yeah.
It was kind of funny how they got us, you know, to kind of do it with these like alter ego characters that we played. You did as well. I remember the little Zod thing or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, I felt so stupid wearing that suit. Kneel to Zod! And I give like a Hitler thing or whatever. I don't know.
We were out at the farm one time and you came down on wires.
You guys don't understand.
And you guys were like, I don't know what your line was, but then you started just turn.
You're lapping your dick off.
It was the most, oh God.
Dude, I remember like fuck. They had me on wires and I had this like trench coat that was longer than me. And I'm up there and I'm supposed to be Zod and I don't know how it
You're like hovering.
Zod, and
You're
I'm
hovering.
Like supposed to be this powerful man. And I just like get, I'm elevating and then I get down on the ground and I just go, the crew's all there and they see me on wires and I'm just like embarrassed. And I'm like, this is stupid. People are going to laugh. I'll never work again. Now, when the people out there, our fans and our friends and everybody see it, they're like, hey, that looked really cool. The effects were above, you know, before its time.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, we just fell into something that was just one of the most special. And it was before social media.
Yeah. I remember getting Blackberries. And then, like, years later, the iPhones. Like, this was all way before this.
And there's just the, if you even... I saw an episode not too long ago, and I saw the effects, and I'm like, they still hold up?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, how did they do that? This is before, and then all of the floodgates open with the Flash and Arrow and everything, and God bless them, and I hope they're all, you know, they're huge, and people love them, but...
Well, Glenn Winter went on to create a lot of... It totally did. Like, did. I'm not... not
I mean...
It did.
It was the
we
whole...
We were the first one.
And people don't understand that it's not like, hey, it's a good director. You have to have a great script... a great director, you know, great writers, actors that you like. They don't even have to be great, but you have to like them.
Yep.
You have to be invested. All these elements have to line up for a hit show.
Yeah.
And they just happen. And I had done a lot of shit. I remember calling my dad up going, you know, hey, Dad, I'm doing this movie. He's like, who's in it? I'm like, well, nobody you know. It's an independent. Independent? That doesn't sound real. That's not a movie. An independent? They don't call these movies independent movies. They're movies.
What do you mean? Nobody really wanted to make
it? Yeah, my dad was a dick. I love him, but he's a dick. Fucking dick. And then when I saw David Nutter brought me in to do ADR, which stands for Additional Dialogue Recording, I believe, or something like that.
Duping.
He goes, do you want to see the beginning of the pilot? And I go, I guess. It's going to be another show that just sucks. Go ahead. Another Rosenbaum.
And you're like, oh,
and I walked out of the room and I called my mom and dad and I said, I'm on a hit show and I think people might recognize me after this.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first time I ever said it. I never was like, oh, this is going to be huge. This is going to be huge. I said, this is it.
Yeah.
And I never had said that before. They were like, really?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not an independent movie, Michael? No, Dad. And fuck yourself independently.
And as soon as that theme song kicks in. You know, in the trailer, even now, I mean, I haven't seen it in a while, but, you know, that song, Somebody Save Me,
how does that song go? Somebody save me.
There you go.
I don't care how you do it, motherfucking just save me. God, we hated that song for so long, but it was a good song.
Yeah. As good as that sounds, watching you do that is horrible.
Why is that?
That was hilarious.
Oh, yeah. It was horrible. I play upside down and backwards.
I know.
I don't even know the chords to that song. That was just improvised, as we like to call it. So, bam, Smallville.
Yeah.
Everything changes. So now what happens when you, I mean, superstardom. You just went from like, hey, I'm modeling a little and living in LA to a 22-year-old rock star.
Well, we were a little isolated because I think we were up in Vancouver.
That helped. That helped, yeah.
And the workload was just like, nobody can tell you, nobody... I couldn't even tell somebody how to handle something like that because they're going, you're working all those hours and then they're going, oh, and now you have to do the press. Now you have to do a photo shoot. And I was just like, whoa, you guys, fuck off. Like, I got to do my work here.
I always say this. I say, Tom, these are first world problems, folks.
Yeah.
This isn't like, we're like, but at the same time, when you commit to a show and you're working like you especially, and I worked a lot.
You did, man.
But you're working.
And you had travel too. I mean, you would fly
up. I travel
up,
and I had to shave my head and all that, but whatever. But the point is, 10 years of your life, really,
was
that show.
A year.
That was your family. That was a show. You're in Vancouver, and you lost, not to say, I hate to say the word lost, but from 22 to 32 or whatever, 25, whatever.
I had no life to speak of,
Those years when you could have been broke, but could have been living and traveling and doing whatever, and those were 10 years where you made a lot of money, and you just didn't have a life, right? And
I
wouldn't,
zero.
And I wouldn't trade it.
No.
you know?
I would, if I would do it differently. I would prioritize a little differently to
how would you do that?
I would try to make more of an effort, I think, to live a life or to enjoy what I was doing as opposed to sort of like getting mad at it because of, you know, the exhaustion or, I mean, your constant state of like jet lag when you're there.
Yeah.
But, you know, thank God I was surrounded, and I mean this sincerely, with you and the other cast members who were all happy to be, you know, everybody was happy to be there to do the good work.
We really did get along.
Yeah.
We did.
Nobody didn't get along, ever.
Yeah. I think I probably lost my cool a couple times.
I think, I don't remember you.
You don't remember me losing my
cool?
Not
like for real losing your cool.
I remember yelling at you.
Really?
Yeah. I was directing an episode. But, well, here's what.
Oh, wait. I don't know.
And the dolly grip broke. Everything was fucking going crazy. And we're 2 hours behind. And Marshall's already there. He's a guy producer who's like always crossed his arms. He had a big belly. And I love and hate Marshall. We got into like almost some brawls. And you come on set and you're like, Rosenbaum, what the fuck are you doing? And I go, fuck you, Welling. Fucking Stanley Kubrick, Spielberg. Fuck you. Because you already directed. And you go, dude, I'm just kidding. And I just looked at you and you gave me a big hug. But that was it. That was the only time you and I ever.
Yeah. But even then, it's still, you know, it was just a foundation of love and support no matter what.
It
was.
It's
like, and look, we had all felt on our own that breaking point of exhaustion. And you recognize it. You can like smell it on other people when they have it too.
Yeah.
And the best thing you can do is just sort of like.
Laugh it off.
Laugh it off.
Just fucking, you know, take a Norco.
Mm-hmm.
Just fucking chill out. I'm going to ask you a question. You can say fuck off, but I don't think you will say fuck off. We don't have to talk deeply about it. But, you know, you were married at a young age.
Yeah.
You were a young man.
Yeah.
How old were you?
You
crossed your legs on this one. I sense discomfort.
Yeah.
I sense the dark side coming.
Yeah.
You never talk about it. You're not an open guy. All I want to say is this. I fucking told you not to do it.
Yeah.
I told you not to get married. And no offense to your ex-wife. But I said, dude, you're fucking 22, man.
Yeah, I think you also were like, there's a lot going on right now. Just take a beat. Like, if you're going to do it, you can do it next year, but just hang on,
man. I mean, you could have, like, I was like, what is going on? He's 22. He doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah.
Look, she didn't know what she was doing. She was young too. You were, and you somehow, I will say this, you fucking fought through it and you did it as long as you could. Yeah. And that says a lot. Look, 70% of marriages end in divorce or more. You know, and you with working so much, it probably was not easy in the relationship.
No. No.
You're working 18 hours a day and you get home and all of a sudden, you know, she wants to talk about something you don't want to talk about. It's not like you just, you're arrested, man.
You don't really have much more to give once you get home, to be honest. Like, it's unfortunate. Maybe that's something that I realized too. Like, you got to suck it up. You got to give maybe a little more effort. But, that's the part of, if I were to do like the show or that situation again, being up there and working so much, I think I would have taken a beat to just experience it in a way of just more joy and appreciation rather than just like, oh, I'm so angry all the time. You know,
you had to grow up so fast where I still haven't grown up.
I don't know if I really grew up, but I grew up like professionally. I think I did.
I think you've always had a good head on your shoulders. Even if you play it off sometimes, you always seem like, you're just a good guy who wants to just not be left alone, but sort of just like, hey, I want to just hang out with my friends or my family or my girlfriend. And do you guys are in contact your ex anymore? No, nothing. Zero. I'll be honest with you. She Facebook requested me. And I just, of course, I couldn't say yes. I mean, you know, my allegiance is with you. And I'm your, you know, you're my pal. And I'm not going to be like, hey, how are you?
What's going on?
You got any dirt on Tom? I didn't really. It's crazy. My parents were divorced after 27 years. My mom's in her third marriage. My sister's marrying for the fourth time. She's like, you're coming to my wedding, right? I'm like, no, I'm waiting to your eighth. I really like the number eight. And, but that's Indiana.
Yeah. So you got to grow up and, you know, I guess you try to just learn, not make the same mistakes, you know?
Was it a horrible divorce?
Oh, no, they're never fun.
They're never fun.
No.
Were you kind of like, just take whatever. I don't give a fuck. Just leave me alone.
I think there was, there's a lot of, one person being rational, one person being irrational about how that all went. And at the end, it ended up being rational. So
at the end, here's the thing. At the end, there's a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
There always is. Because now you're dating someone. Now you're engaged.
No.
No, you're not. Mm-hmm. You're just dating.
Yeah.
I don't know that. I just threw that out
That
there.
Was funny the other day when you texted me.
Like, you're engaged, right?
No, but you go, you texted me, you go, hey, buddy, how's it going? I want you to do my podcast. Yeah, I just broke up with my girlfriend. How's your girl? And I was
like, you go.
And I go, what? You broke up with your girlfriend and now you text me about my girl? Bring it on, motherfucker. Good luck.
By the way, she's awesome.
She's terrific.
She's, no, she's how long terrific. Have you been dating?
Couple of years.
Jessica. Mm-hmm. And her last name is Rose. Wouldn't it be easier if I dated her? Jessica Rose and Baum. Wouldn't that be easier?
Yeah.
Look, I don't have a chance. Did you enjoy making out with Kristen Kreuk? Because I sure as hell did.
I know. She was great because I think she understood you. She understood me. Like, she understood the show. I think she understood the characters. She was perfect in that role as an actress and as a person.
There was one co-star that you did. You were always a gentleman. You were always like, you know, you were always committed to your marriage and all that back then. And I never saw you like go. But I remember there was one girl you were smitten with, just like you thought she was cute. One girl. Yeah, you do. I forgot her name. Blonde. Guest star. I don't know. But I remember we looked at each other and we're like, in your head, you didn't say it, but I could see like it was the Jedi. It was like we were Jedis. We could talk to each other. Or was that, Rob, what's that shit called when you could talk?
Telepathy?
Telepathy. Oh, thanks for your one right answer for the whole fucking podcast. No.
Did you figure out that equation yet?
Yeah, how much money? Well, he said a million. He said
1.1 million.
1.1 million. Thank you. An hour later. But I remember going... You looked at me and you're just like, if I wasn't married, and I'm like, and I would if she was interested. We both, that's what was said without saying
it. If she was interested in me, I could just see you being like, man, I swear, if she even would.
So you've done a lot of other shit. I mean, people like, at first it was like, you know, I think when you're younger and you get on a show and you're like, I'm Lex Luthor. You're like, God, I want to do other things though. And a lot of actors be like, I don't want to talk about that. Mm-hmm. I don't want to. There comes a time where you either like, look, I think, I embrace the shit out of it, and I think you do too now. It's one of those things.
I do
it's
now,
like,
Yeah,
it took time because it's hard playing the same role, and you're like, hey, I'd like people to see me as another, you know, some other way. But you have all these fans that support you and watch you and whatever you do. And to me, if somebody said, I know we've talked about this before in the show that never aired, but it was like, if this was all we did, would it be enough?
Yeah.
And I'm like, fuck yeah. I was a legendary character for 7 years. You were for 10 years. Mm-hmm. You made some money. You had fans. People enjoyed you. People like soldiers from Iraq would say, we watched sets of Smallville and it saved our lives. And I didn't believe it. I was like, this is impossible. But we touched so many people that is, it, don't you feel the same way?
Yeah, I think now that the show's been over, I think we've had time to sort of
reflect
and have those experiences to understand that. Because when you're up there shooting it, you don't get to see.
That's all there is.
You don't meet the people who are actually fans and watching the show. So you don't. You know, to you, it's just a lot of hard work.
Yeah.
You know, but then you get a beat and, you know, maybe you go to Comic-Con or maybe you go and instead of being out in front of a bunch of, what do you call it? Like interview people who are just trying to like find something out about you. You're actually in front of your fans who just really appreciate what you're doing. And that's when it's like, oh, wow, this is actually cool.
It's in a way, it's like unconditional love. It's like I loved you and you gave me so much entertainment for all these years. Mm-hmm. And it's something really beautiful about that. So I'll go to conventions and people will come up and it's shocking.
It's joy.
To me. Yeah. It's joy. And it's shocked that like my dad was sick and we watched this. This was our show together. Mm-hmm. And you don't think about those things when you're doing a show and you're working and you're this, but there's something pretty fucking cool about that. But you went on to do a lot of things. You worked with Steve Martin for Cheaper by the Dozen One.
Your buddy.
We almost worked with him at the same time. Yeah. I had to wear a bad wig, which fucking pissed me off. I looked like shit. I had to wear these wigs during that 7 years, dude. I mean, I shouldn't have done anything because it's just all these bad wigs. I worked with Wes Craven, shitty wig. They had the, but you worked with Steve Martin. You loved that.
Yeah, it was fun. That was fun.
Was he nice to you? Did you eat with him? Did you hang out with him?
Yeah.
Anything funny happened with Steve Martin?
Let's see. I mean, he doesn't really tell jokes. It's just sort of like the way he sees the world. It's sort of different. But there was an experience. I think one of the first weeks I was working on Cheaper by the Dozen. We were out at the family house in the country. And I was walking down the hill back to where the trailers are by myself. And I heard a banjo playing. And I walked around. You know, we have all these trailers set up. And I walked around. I stuck my head around a corner. And I saw this horse up against the fence with his head over the fence. And it's like a weird, like, I can see it. It's like a camera shot. I went, like, across the body of the horse to the head, down to the banjo, to the hands playing the banjo. And I look up, and it's Steve Martin playing a banjo, and this horse's head, nose, is, like, an inch from the banjo. And he's just playing. And I'm like, I just stood there. I'm like, this is the funniest, like, it's literally so funny I couldn't laugh. That's how amazing it was. And he looks over and he finishes playing and the horse kind of goes away. And I was like, when did you start playing the banjo, Steve?
It's we're
like
horsing around. We gotta shoot something here, buddy.
And he goes about, I think he said, well, 20 years ago, I figured if I started playing the banjo, 20 years later, I'd be good at it. And as you know now, he tours and he's like one of the best banjo players in the world. But anyway, that was like the first conversation I had with him. So that was a good kickoff point.
And you worked with Kevin Costner.
Mm-hmm. That was cool.
You played a football player. You played a quarterback.
Kevin was cool because...
What was the movie?
Draft Day. I really like. That's a movie that if I see it on, I'll watch the movie. It's fun.
It's always nice when you like a movie even if it didn't do well. Mm-hmm. Like I have that movie like Sorority Boys. Like mm-hmm. It's a cult. I just love it. We had so much fun on set. It's just a memory.
Mm-hmm.
But how was Kevin Costner?
He was great. I think the first scene I had with him, I have to yell at him and get in his face and the first take.
Your first day?
Yeah. And so I get in his face and I'm yelling at him and then I just sort of like... realize I'm talking like I'm working with Kevin Costner, like it hits me right in the middle of my line, my big paragraph, and I just go blank. And I was like, and they were like, cut, all right, let's go again. And I was like, fuck.
Were you nervous? Is that what happened?
I guess. Finally came
out. You know
out.
That nervous feeling when you're like, all of a sudden you think about something?
Yeah.
It's like with
you
anything.
Very
you
aware.
Just, it's like when you get up to bat with the bases loaded and you're like, you can't think about it.
You're like, oh shit, the bases are loaded.
You just got to be confident and do it. It's like with anything, when you're an actor, you got to commit and like, that's happened to me times where I'm all of a sudden I'm like working with Stallone.
Yeah.
Hey, dude. I'm like, oh my God, that's fucking Rocky. What's my line? I only have one.
Beth,
our script supervisor. I loved her.
But so I just go blank and I was like, fuck. And Kevin comes over and he's like, you all right? And I'm like, yeah, dude. He's like, don't worry about it. I'm like, no, I am going to worry about it. I want to be good. I want to be good for you. And it just kind of came out and he puts his hand on my shoulder. He goes, hey, listen. Just remember that when I fuck up my lines, just let me off the hook. He said something like
something comforting and sweet.
And I was like,
genuine.
Thanks, dude. And then from there, we nailed it. But it was just cool because, you know, it's Kevin Costner.
It's Kevin Costner.
I mean,
and now
what am I doing here? You know.
So you've been doing stuff. You like I'm sure a lot of people know this, but you directed what 7 episodes of Smallville?
Yeah, 7 or 8, yeah.
Like it directed episode 150, which was a big one. Yeah. I mean, you and by the way. I got to say, it's like when any actor says, I'm going to direct, it's like, oh, fuck.
Right.
And when you directed, you were just right there. And I remember watching the episode going, he had my back. Because you knew my strengths. You knew, and you wanted to make us good.
Yeah.
You wanted everyone to be good. And I think that's the sign of a really good director is someone who is not, it's not about him. It's like, hey, this is them on screen. How can I bring out the best in them?
Yeah, elevate the material. And, you know, we were both of us were lucky to direct on a show where we already knew the people that we were directing.
It helps.
It helps a lot.
It's a good.
I mean, I don't know what your experience was like with your film that you directed and how much you knew those people, but, you know, I
didn't know them at all.
It can't be easy to direct people that you don't have a rapport with, which now I realize when you do movies or other projects and the directors are like, hey, you know, spend some time together beforehand. Years ago, I was kind of like, why? Because on Smallville, you'd show up and you'd meet the director and you'd work.
Yeah.
And then these films, the directors would be like, let's go out to dinner. I'd be like, why? Like, I don't have time to go to dinner, first of all, because I'm flying in from Vancouver to do this.
Right.
But now I realize it was to establish rapport. And, you know, that's something that I had to learn.
And then you started producing and you had a show, Hellcats, and you were a producer.
We're bringing that back on a apparently online they've been airing it and it's very popular in like small doses. So they want to redo it and test it out online. And if it goes well, we'll bring it back to put it back on air again.
That's awesome. Because
it's got like a little cult following, I guess.
But
back in the day, you know, it got canceled because the woman, I forget her name, who was running Warner Brothers or CW left.
Lisa Lewis?
No, but I saw Lisa the other day.
I love her.
She does Lucifer.
A great woman, huh?
She does Lucifer. And she's
right. So. So now, how many years has Smallville been over for you?
What is it, 5, 7?
It's like 5 or 7 years.
Yeah.
So you sort
I don't
of,
even know.
It takes time, because when I left in 2008 or 9 or whatever, I remember just like, I grew my hair out, I called my agent, I said, I want to have general meetings with everybody because I want them to see me with hair and see that I'm not this like evil, weird guy. And it's like starting over.
Yeah.
And I was like started doing little comedies and this and that up to like all this stuff. How did you feel when you directed? Did you just say, I don't want to do a fucking, because that's how I felt right away. I'm not doing anything for a while.
Oh, yeah. I literally didn't do anything for, I think, like 6 months. I literally went away. I went out east and like, I needed to do all the shit that I wanted to do for 10 years, but didn't have time or couldn't do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know now that's what I was doing. But yeah, I was like, I'm gone.
Right. So how did this whole thing with Lucifer happen?
That's just recent. Well, this season, this television season, I had sort of reengaged about the, because for a couple of years, I just didn't want to go back to TV because I associated it with that experience of Smallville.
Absolutely.
I just.
15 hours every day in Vancouver.
10 years.
It's like, hey, hang on. And by the way, I just did a show where I was in Vancouver for two seasons, but they're like, listen, it's only 3.5 months.
Right.
It's beautiful in the summer. We're not going to, you know, you're not there 10 and a half months. You're not shaving your head or your balls. These, you know, so that it takes you a minute to readjust.
Yeah. Because it's sort of like it's in your blood. The reaction of like, I don't want to feel that way again.
Yeah.
It's like getting punched in the
face. And network television. It's like 22 episodes. I don't want to do 22 episodes. Right. It's great today. It's like all the cable outlets you can do. And what is Lucifer? Where is it? What is it air on?
Fox. And they're going to do 22 episodes. And originally they wanted me in 10, and it was pretty funny because I'd been in front of Fox on a couple other projects this season that just didn't work out. And so I got a call on a Monday from my agent. It was like, hey, you know, we've got an offer for you for the show Lucifer. And I was like, oh, I think I know that show. And they're like, yeah. And so they sent me some episodes to watch, and the money was where it was. And they, you know, they wanted 10 episodes, and it shoots in LA, which was like, oh, like really? Like no way.
Wow. That's the biggest thing. When you're near, when you're home,
you can sleep,
you can go in your bed.
Bed.
That means a ton.
So they go, like, it was kind of funny. They're like, all right, so, you know, it's time to tell them yes or no. And you're going to work on Friday. And this was like Wednesday.
And that's the biggest nerve. Like, I hate when people are like, hey, they need to know you're working tomorrow or the next day. I'm like, I need to prepare.
I know.
No, I can't memorize my lines. I don't know what I'm going to look like.
Why didn't you guys call me last week?
That's so scary. Like, it's a scary thing. And it's fear-based.
Yeah.
We're both, I think it's fear-based. It's like a lot of actors will go, yep. I'm like, why? You're like, you're superhuman. I'm like, fuck no.
Well, they've learned they can do it, I guess.
I guess, yeah.
You know, I know that I, at times, spend a lot of times worrying about the wrong things.
We all do.
And during this process, it was like, let me worry about the right things here.
Yeah.
And that's why it came together so quickly. And when they called back and I'm like, hey, listen, guys, I don't know about this 10 episodes. They're like, they need you for 10. They can't do any less. I'm like, how about like 15?
And they want to do more.
I go, you want to do more? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, this is great. I love the show.
So wait, you guaranteed 15 now?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. They came in at 10 and you said, no, I want more episodes.
Yeah.
I want to be on more.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Because the show's that, I mean, it's literally that good. Like,
people
it's fun
love
to watch.
This show. Yeah. They love the show. And now I'm going to watch it because you're on it.
And Beeman, thanks. And Beeman had directed some of those episodes. You know, we love Beeman and he knows us. And I reached out to him and he was like, Tom, I know you. You're going to love this show. You're going to love those people. They have a great time. They get their job done. There's no, you know, there's horsing around, but they're not fucking around. You know, they're getting it done. You're going to love the cast.
Trisha Helfert, Amy Garcia, who I know, they're awesome. And they already are like in love with you. How long? You just started shooting.
Yeah.
Like when?
I worked yesterday and I've worked about 4 days so far over the last couple of weeks.
And you're loving it.
Yeah. It's fantastic. It's so much fun.
What kind of character is this? Are you allowed to say?
I'm not really allowed to say. He comes in and, you're not supposed to know what he is. He's kind of a dick.
Right.
Their season last year, all their characters sort of ended up getting along, like, on the show. And I guess they realized.
We need some adversity. We need some struggle.
Yeah. So, like, Lucifer and the character that he's partnered up with, they're, like, getting along. So I come in and I just basically, like, you guys are all, you guys are full of shit. And get to work. And I get to be a dick. But you'll find out that
no wonder
later,
you took it.
There's a reason.
I don't want to play the nice guy.
That's right.
I don't want to play
right.
You know, it's always nice when you get to do that.
Yeah, it's a different muscle. And it's a little more fun, and it's funny because one thing I like about this character is Lucifer comes in and he's like, "Hey, I'm Lucifer," and he kind of walks like this.
Is that how he talks?
He's like, "Oh my
God." English.
He's English. Yeah. And,
I'm Lucifer,
and I'm so crazy and weird, and I know everything, and my character's like. Yeah, anyway, and just sort of like walks past
them. Give a shit.
I just don't care.
But no wonder you like this
guy. But it's
guy.
Good comedy.
Like, right.
In between the beats, him.
That's great.
Yeah, but that's a really big reason why I like this guy.
I like this. I like seeing you happy, too. I mean, you're always a happy guy, but it's like you're picky.
Yeah.
You're picky, and you don't do, you don't work. And people are like, well, what is he doing? I'm like, because Tom's worse. I mean, he's like, I don't want to fucking do it unless it – It does something for you.
Well, and it's also like I can be sometimes I'm like a light switch. I'm either on or off things,
Right.
And when I'm on them, I'm really on them, and it's like almost too far and like blinders.
And we get in our own way, I think. I think a lot of people do. I think we just like, fuck, that's the thing. It's just like, I don't, it's fear-based a lot of times. You just got to say, fuck it.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it. And what happens if I fail?
Yeah.
Who gives a shit?
And sort of,
Or not even think that way. Think, what if I'm great?
Yeah. Or just like get out of your own way or get over yourself.
Or what if I make money?
Yeah.
You know, it's all good.
But that's, you know, that's, you're a lot braver than I am in a lot of those respects. And that's something that you inspire me. Like, even with what you're doing, like the funny thing you said about going over and playing music in Germany or the stand-up. I mean, that's
well, you know what?
That's brave.
Let me tell you, don't think for a second that I get on stage every time and I'm just like natural and not and just like fearless.
In my head you are, because I haven't seen it.
Right. The first time I get up on stage, Harlan goes, "Hey, buddy," you know, Dumb and Dumber, something about Mary. He's like, "Hey, buddy, open for me in Oxnard. 600 people, bud." And I went up there, and I was driving with my two friends, and I went backstage and threw up and had explosive diarrhea for a good 25 minutes. I was dehydrated. Oh, I was
buddy,
lightheaded.
You're right.
And I was just so... I was so nervous, and it's amazing how then adrenaline kicks in and your adrenaline sort of helps you, and you're like, hey, mm-hmm. and then you have this, you know, you get to just trust yourself. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why do I go through all this struggle of getting nervous and throwing yeah. up and getting all these, why does this keep happening? Mm-hmm. And my therapist says, because this is your process. Mm. This is what you do. I go, so I have to have explosive diarrhea and throw up every fucking
it's
time?
It's this weird way of...
Do you get like that? Anything like that?
Well, it's what, and I sort of mentioned this earlier, it is your process. And what I've tried to do is... go, all right, why do I have to get so angry and anxious and mad to get focused? Well, it's such a waste of energy.
It's such a waste of energy.
It really, like, why can't I just go, why can't that be a better process and I can save energy and be a happier person?
Yeah.
Because I think that was part of my process. Now, as far as throwing up and diarrhea, that hasn't happened.
But. Yeah, that happened also when I went to Germany with the band. I never really performed in front of a lot of people, and I was just... It's like unbelievable. And I just said to myself, hey, man, this is bucket list stuff. This is mm-hmm. like, if I suck, I suck.
It's going to be worse if I don't do it.
Yeah, what am I going to be 80 years old and go, why didn't I do that? Who cares if you failed? The only way to really make it or do what you want to do in life is to find out if you're good at it. Yeah. And if you're not, then you go in a different direction.
Yeah.
You know?
And if you fear, you know, if not doing it, if you fear not doing it more, then that's also a process that could be motivating. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. What you do... Honestly, you can answer this. Would you do anything related to Superman again? If someone called and said, hey, we want you to be the next Superman, or there was something really cool,
well,
would you consider it?
You know, you've heard me say this before, that I never played Superman. I played Clark Kent.
Yes.
And then a buddy of mine said the other...
Well, the last episode, you put on a suit.
Exactly. Not the whole suit, but... And for years, I would kind of say that, and I don't know, maybe I had a chip on my shoulder. And not long ago, a buddy of mine, we were talking about it. He goes, bro... Who gives a shit if people call you Superman? Could be worse. And I'm like, well, I never played Superman. He goes, fuck you. At least they're not calling you Robin.
Yeah.
And yeah. I was like, yeah, you
that's
know.
That's a good, you know. Or asshole, or yeah. nobody.
Yeah. At least they're calling you something.
They're calling you something. It's better than, you know, hey, Lex Luthor, man, why don't you pick up the tab? You know how many times I've been in a bar, like, hey, there's the billionaire, man. I'm like, dude, I have a fucking Star Wars t-shirt on. And do I look like a billionaire to you? Right. Right. You know,
that wasn't me. That was a character I played. But yeah.
Yeah. But you just got to go, okay, what the fuck?
Yeah. But you know, it's, you know, I've been asked to like show up on some of the shows that, you know, whether it's the Arrow or the Supergirl and things like that. And that, I don't think that's necessarily for me.
That's what they asked me too. And I say the same thing. It's not because of disrespect. It's like, hey, we gave you 10 years. I gave you 7. It was great. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like Superman. Also, there's an ego to it. It's like Supergirl is a show with the lead characters. And I don't want to come in and be like a secondary character. That's not me right now.
And it's, you're almost,
I mean, it sounds like a dick, but I just don't want to go, hey, Lex Luthor's going to show up for 2 episodes. It just doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't make any sense.
And it's a different show.
It's a totally different tone.
It's there. What they're doing is great. What we had was special, and I just don't want to mess that up.
Right.
You know, what we did was something else.
I mean, even on Smallville, we had a bunch of people, like they call it stunt casting, where, you know, you bring somebody in who, you know, to play a character, but you're really hiring their name recognition a lot of times, and hopefully they get a role to play. We had a lot of people do that on our show.
And Dean Cain, who I love, he was great. I just saw him in London. But he came on the show and played one episode and I killed him, which was fun. Mm-hmm. And he was just got a good, you know, he was cool about it.
Right.
I think it's just what you want to do, what you think you should do, what's right at the time. And, I always say, look, if something cool happened where, you know, I think it's different because, you know, I shaved my head. I'm different.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, I don't know. But if Zack Snyder called me and said, hey, you're the next Lex Luthor, I'd be like, fuck yeah, man.
Right.
And I'd fucking crush it.
Yeah.
I really do. I love playing that character. It was hard as shit. It fucked with my head.
Yeah.
I had daddy issues on the show and off the show. And, you know, it was hard, but to do a movie for a couple months.
That would be a different medium. And,
yeah. It'd be great. And I don't understand, I never will understand the whole movie TV thing. And now it's different because movie actors are going to TV. Right. And you see it everywhere. Everybody's doing Netflix and HBO. And big actors are coming to do TV.
Right.
But I still don't understand that thing where it's like they look at a successful show like Smallville. And I'm like, why don't they ever fucking consider me for Lex Luthor? I never understood that. I wasn't pissed. I was just like, they're idiots. That's what I thought. I just thought, they're idiots.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, my experience being on Smallville and then now getting into the development producer world, I now see that in the industry, it's just two different. In the industry itself, not even the actors, it's two different worlds. I mean, the movie people and the TV people, the executives, like they don't know each other. They don't talk to each other. Like, they don't not like each other, but there's no connection. And so I think that then also is a part of, for the actors, there's no connection. There's no, you know, people don't pay to see you on Smallville, but they have to pay to see you in a movie. So that's a big thing too. So yeah, you might've been successful on TV, but we don't know if people are going to pay to see you.
Well, I always say this. I always make this. I remember because I play hockey with Jerry Bruckheimer.
Yeah.
I play in this
league.
Who created Lucifer. Yeah. So, and I'm always like, Jerry, do you think one of your movies...
Just one.
Like, do you think one of your movies, like Pirates of the Caribbean, if I was a eighth pirate to the left who had five irons, do you think your movie's going to make any less because I'm in it? Nah, it might make a few more dollars. It's not going to make any less.
Right.
And I always fuck with him like that. He goes, I've offered you TV shows. Not good ones, though. He has a couple of pilots that weren't great, but they didn't get picked up. But Lucifer's a great show.
Yeah.
And Jerry's a brilliant guy. He knows what he's doing. And he's the one who told me to do stand-up early on. He's like, you need to do that.
Well, I always told you, you got to do stand-up. Don't prepare anything. Just go on stage.
That's
Because I don't know anything about comedy, but I would just see you on set, just go into shit. That was so hilarious.
That's
and it
true.
Seems like it would come from nowhere. Now, the reality of going up on stage in front of 600 people or whatever it is, I don't know.
Well, if you have 15, 20 minutes, 25 minutes, and you're just winging it, and there's no fluidity.
And there's no one really connecting.
Sometimes I go off. Sometimes if someone like does something, I go, ma'am, oh, you don't fart. Ma'am, women don't fart. And then I'll go off on a tangent about, you know why women don't fart? Because if they do, it would clear the fucking room because they eat these vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, taste-free shakes and they hold it in like a nuclear furnace, right? And it's just building and building. And the second little, just a little, the slightest clears it, right? My ex-girlfriend used to wrap her up like a burrito in a bed because when she got comfortable and she'd go to sleep... like the last sound a balloon would make. So I roll her up like
this
a...
what I'm talking about.
But that's what I was... So I would go off on tangents, but it's just about experience.
Yeah.
Your charity. Talk about your charity. No flights, no tights.
My chair... What do you mean?
Do you have a charity for the t-shirts you sell for...
Oh, yeah. That was
Jesus.
I thought you said charity.
John Patrick Welling the Eighth.
Yeah, we did that to benefit St. Jude's. There was a company that just said, hey, you know, that we can do this and... And I was like, no, I don't do stuff like that. You know, I've never done. And they were like, no,
but it's like, for kids.
It's for like, think about it this way. And so, and that was another situation where it was like, you know, get over yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, fucking, come on, dude.
Right. I feel like, I mean, I could just talk to you for hours about the shit that.
Yeah. I would hope this is an easy conversation. I don't know what you're going to talk to. Like, was it Jim Courier you have coming?
No, Jimmy Connors.
Jimmy Connors.
Yeah. I'm nervous about that one. That's next.
Like, what's
and,
your plan?
Well, you know what? My plan is to just say, Jimmy, I just remember you when I was a kid and you were a badass and you had great legs. And I just remember your legs were great. I'm not gay, but really great legs. And you were just a guy who didn't take any shit. And I met your daughter at a Lakers game, and we just hit it off. We were just friends. I did not sleep with her. We were just cool. And we just start talking, and she said, my dad's Jimmy Connors. And I go, would he be on my podcast? And she's like, fuck yeah. There so when go. He comes, I'm going to literally tell him that.
And then be like, what's
and
up?
And then just start talking. And I know things about him. Okay. I know. So, and I bought a racket for him to send. You know me with autographs. I have like Steve Martin, the Jerk autograph. People think Dax Shepard was on. He's like, why do you get autographs? I'm like, I don't know, man. Cause I always think I'm never going to work with him again. And I haven't. So I was right.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really get it. I mean, you know, if anyone's ever seen your room in there, it's pretty incredible. But you know, when I worked, I mean, there you go. Look at that.
I buy toys. This is an original Superman lunchbox.
Yeah. I had the helmet that I had in that movie, draft day,
right?
I had Kevin Costner sign it, so I have that. That was pretty cool. I like
you
that.
Have any? Do you have any toys?
No.
You know I have these toys, right?
Yeah, I know.
That's the Clark Kent. This is this kind of looks like you. This has looks nothing like me. My friend Matt once stuck this up his ass. Not
serious?
This one. I wouldn't have this one.
Oh.
But he,
this one,
he wouldn't let my, yeah, that one. No, he wouldn't let me. He didn't want my head to get any bigger when I first got a big hit show. So there was a party at my house and I came out and everybody was laughing and Tom was in the, or my, Matt Ballard was in the middle and this was shoved up his ass, just the head. And,
was he walking around?
It just brought me down to earth. Yeah. He was walking around like, hey, look, I'm Michael Rosenbaum. I'm Lex Luthor with a doll in his ass. And, I really appreciated that. So this looks nothing like me.
It really doesn't.
And this was us. Look at this.
What is it?
That's
oh, yeah.
That's our first Smallville picture ever. That was, why am I wearing a leather jacket and in front of a cornfield in 180 degree weather?
You know what is the irony of these pictures is why would all these characters be in the same place at the same time?
I know, it just looks so weird.
Like why? But it, the reality is it's just
these are the characters in Smallville. But we all look like fuck you. We don't want to be there. You know, there was
no one look, I tell you what, no character looks happy here. This looks like a dramatic show.
No, this was an 18-hour day and then we're doing a photo shoot. And why is my head so white? Oh God, I had so many problems with my head. I remember, dude, remember that mask I wore and they'd spray paint my head and like just so I couldn't, Lex Luthor's not supposed to have any like hairline. Mm-hmm. And I remember one time I'm wearing this Darth Vader mask. So cause she's spraying this makeup on me.
An and air purifier was in there.
Yeah. And I'm sitting there and it's 5 a.m. and there's this, that hot guest star that we don't remember the name of, the blonde that we telepathically, Rob. Fuck, made me smarter.
Yeah, telepathically is the correct word.
Thank you. Fuck. Two right questions today. Answers. So, and she's, I'm looking in the mirror miserable. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to die. So I'm going to inhale stuff. I'm going to be like those old actors who inhaled shit.
Oh, yeah.
And I just, I
like
also,
asbestos.
Yeah, asbestos. And looking through the mirror and I see her reflection, this beautiful, young girl, legal. I don't want to sound like she's a creep. And I'm just like sitting there with my mask on. I take my mask off and I just remember looking at her at like 5 a.m. going, I'm cuter with hair. And then back to the mask.
Yeah, because you couldn't breathe that stuff.
Yeah. What are you going to do? A few little questions from fans. I mean, I just said I'd ask them. Fatima, what is the at Fruit Punch 10? What is the one question you will never answer? Man, I don't know what
that one.
This one. Thank you. Do you believe there are aliens among us, Tom?
Sure.
Good. Define a friend. What makes a friend in an enemy?
Support. I think a friend is just somebody there who, you know, just kind of gets you and just there for you.
Do you believe that the reason Lex Luthor became bad was because Clark lied to him the whole fucking friendship and it's his fault?
Yes.
Awesome. I believe the same thing.
I always thought that Lex was the real hero. I mean, people just didn't understand really what he was. You know, he was just trying to help people.
He was.
That's all he was doing.
What's your Instagram? Is it just Tom Welling?
I think it is, yeah.
It's very simple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got the little blue dot thing on it.
Are you excited about life?
Yeah.
Yeah. You enjoy life?
Yeah.
How your girlfriend, she's great.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's great. Great
I'm
sex.
Having more,
great sex life.
Yeah. I'm having more fun now, I think, with life than probably ever before.
If people come up to you and say, can I get a picture? How do you feel?
Fine.
But, what if you're eating?
I didn't used to, but.
Yeah.
No, I think it took me a while to understand that it's not about me. First of all, it was like, why would you want your picture with me? Like, I don't get it.
Right.
You know, I don't get it.
Because you're handsome and you're a superstar.
But like, but I never wanted my picture with anybody. So like, but when I realized it's not about me, it's about them and, you know, they
support you. Do you ever do this? Sometimes I'm out with like my friends, like one of my friends, John Heater or Dak Shepherd, you know, friends that are, you know, and you know, I'll be with them and then we'll go and someone will recognize them and go, can I get a picture? And I'll hold the camera. Do you ever think like me when they do that to you, do you think, gosh, hey, I was somebody too. Do you ever do that? Like, why don't they want my picture?
No, I've been out with friends who've been recognized and I've not. And I'm like, yes.
Oh, you like
I'm it? Like,
no,
yes.
I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it. Is there anything you want to ask me? I have a cold, by the way, if you sound like shit.
No, I mean,
you know, I'm an open book.
I know. I mean, I'm just not that interested, I guess.
You ever smoke pot?
I have.
Yeah. Do you like it?
Yeah. It's one of those things where like, I don't know if I'm good at it, you know, kind of, so I'm kind of like, I'm not, you know,
you're good at smoking pot.
No, like it just,
no one's good at it. I mean, it's like, I just got to make sure it's the right, my friend Carl McDowell, I only smoke his weed. Otherwise, I'll jump off a roof.
Really?
I want it to be chill. I got to be chill. One hit. Just take one hit. Mm-hmm. You know? How many beers before you're drunk?
Beers? 12? I mean.
Jesus.
Yeah.
You're an alcoholic. How much?
Why? Why does that make me an alcoholic?
Well, I could probably drink 4 and I'm hammered.
Oh.
It's just body weight, though. I'm smaller than you. How much? One thing we didn't touch on was like on 10 years of Smallville, you always had to be in great shape. You always had to work out. I remember one season you came in a little fat.
Yeah.
Because you were like, fuck off.
That was
I'm not working out. And I remember the producers go, dude, you're Superman. It's your image on TV. You got to do it. And finally, you're like, turned it around. But I can understand that. Like, I'm not going to do this. Yeah. And then we just somehow, I hate working out.
I had like a summer of gluttony where I was just like, you know what? I was like such a baby.
I'm going to do
whatever I want. If I want to wake up and have a beer, I'm going to do that.
You're a brat.
I was a fucking brat, and I was just away for 2 months from the show.
And you were tired.
And I was tired. But I was also going to the gym and working out. So I just got, like, thick as fuck. But then once I got back to the show and we started working and I wasn't drinking and doing all that stupid shit,
right?
In, like, 3 weeks, I lost, like, 15 pounds or whatever it was.
Yeah, you'd lose it pretty easily.
Because it was like I wasn't having the intake.
Would you ever go to any conventions and sign autographs?
Because every time
I go there, I go to sign autographs a couple times a year. I go to some conventions and you're the only picture I never see signed.
I've never done
one. So I bet your autograph's worth quite a bit of money.
You know, I'd be interested to know how much it would be worth. In the past, I don't think I've ever been open to it. I'm starting to open up to the idea of it because
if they do it the right way, everybody does it. And here's why I think conventions can be great because a lot of people say, well, you know, you're signing autographs, you're paying money to do this and you're charging people. Mm-hmm. Here's the reality. I was a nerd. Like, I used to go to horror movie conventions and get autographs from people, and I'd pay, and it'd make my weekend, and it was fun to go to Horror Fest in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. So some of these people, it's not like you're taking a trip to the Bahamas. For them, it is a trip to the Bahamas. They want to go meet the people that they love, and they want to get a chance to meet them and get an autograph, and it means the world to them. So it's like double. It's like we both benefit. It's like I get to go to Dublin next week, you know, and they get to come out. We all get to hang out, whatever. And look, Benedict Cumberbatch was just there signing autographs.
Yeah, it's becoming, you know, when we were on the show, it was frowned upon.
Right,
it was
right.
Like what people did when they couldn't really work. Now, dude, everybody does it.
I think it's one of those things where, you know, you go for a weekend, you do a Q&A, people love it, they eat it up, you talk to your fans, it's like a connection, you know, it's like, so, all right, so that's a maybe, that's what you're open to.
Yeah. I mean, we should probably talk about it because you've done them. I've never done one.
I've got a woman she's just awesome because she doesn't take any shit and she does it the right way and she's really respected and she's, so I'm sure they could do something where, I mean, Benedict Cumberbatch came in for like one, you know who he is, right? Mm-hmm. He came in for one day. Mm-hmm. In one day, I think Val Kilmer, like everybody does it. You're right. Mm-hmm. Everybody does it. So
it's, you know, it's like when Instagram and all that stuff came in, social media, it was like, you know,
Nobody wanted to do it.
And now you have to do it. Like if you don't do it, people will get mad at you.
Yeah. I think though, if I wasn't an actor and I was just like, I'm retiring, which could be any moment, I probably wouldn't do social media. I think it's fun because it's a connection with your fans and your friends and all these things, but it is, it's a lot of work.
You mind me? you know what I watched the other day? One of my favorite movies of all time, Weird Science. You just remember
Weird Science?
You remind me of Chet right there.
Hey, what does he say? What's the line?
Dickweed.
Yeah. Remember the car? It's like, he don't even have a license, Lisa. He's an asshole. Anybody with a haircut like that's got to be.
Look at his hair, Lisa. I mean, come on. Anybody with a haircut like that.
Because they just got back from the bar where he's like getting all drunk.
Oh, man. We used to do impressions to each other. I think that's what, like, the best thing about it is, like, you and I would just do dueling Christopher Walkens.
Yeah.
We'd get up there, and I'd even say my lines, and then you go, Lex. So, yeah.
Wow, Lex.
It was great.
What are you doing? That's Lana.
It was fun. I was like, it's great, Clark. And then the director's like, guys, we got to get through this day.
Yeah.
But we had so much. We did the Keanu Reeves. Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
And every day was just like, you know, the hard days, those long days. It's like that's the only thing that got you through it.
You
got
to have fun. I remember that one. There was one time, I think Marzi was directing and Glenn was the DP and it was late. And you and I just started fucking laughing. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning. We were exhausted. And we just started laughing. Remember, we couldn't stop.
Yeah.
And Glenn just came in. He's like, you guys, what are you doing? And we're like, we can't stop laughing. Like, we were losing our minds, literally. Yeah. And then, like, 5 minutes went by, and we kind of came back.
But
you kind of go a little crazy.
You do go a little crazy.
Yeah.
Did you miss me when I left season 7? Honestly, yeah. Don't lie. Don't
no,
lie.
No, I did. I did. Well, because it was always fun. I always had such a good time when you came in. And it was just, you know, you always different. That character was very different. You know, I got to do things with your character that I didn't get to do with everybody else.
Yeah.
And
we complimented each other.
Yeah. And like, you know, you're a fantastic actor and I learned a lot from you because I had to, because I didn't know what the fuck I was doing.
Well, you were 22, dude.
But I would see you do things and be like, oh, I didn't know you could do that. Like, I saw what you did with that line and stuff like that.
Or do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah.
It's like, I saw that as the series went on, as you started to just do what the fuck you wanted.
Yeah.
And you didn't care about like direction. Someone said that, yeah, I don't think that's right. And then you were constructively,
yeah.
And you would just all of a sudden I saw you grow. Mm. You just grew. You just was like, wow. Now he's directing. Now he's you just became. It's all, you know. You committed to it, which was awesome.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I had a Rob. Do you have anything last? By the way, he never seen this fucking show.
Yeah, I don't watch Smallville.
Well, you could.
Sorry.
Wow.
You're like the producer engineer of Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum. You don't even know what the fuck I do.
I think it's helpful though.
Do you ever see the episode on Entourage where they go to look at this house and the realtor, as Vince walks in, the realtor goes, yeah, and I just sold a house down the street to that actor from Smallville. And
really?
And Vince goes, cool, where's Smallville? Good actor from Smallville.
That's great.
Somebody just showed me that the other day.
That's great. I like that.
Anyway.
Well, look, man, this has been a fucking... It's awesome. I mean, yeah. I could talk to you forever. I mean, this is just effortless. I didn't need any notes. I love seeing you. I hope you and your lady will invite me to go do things. You invited me to the Houdini house
that
for your birthday.
Fun.
She surprised you.
Yeah.
Look, Tom is a super guy. I've been buddies for a long time. Yeah. Check him out on Instagram. I don't know what else to say other than thank you for allowing me to be inside you today. And
I appreciate it.
You appreciated me inside you?
I really appreciate you inside of me. It just felt like home.
Didn't it?
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.